Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Body to the broadcast. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. We want to welcome our Facebook Live audience. We want to welcome our podcast audience. We want to welcome our YouTubers. Tonight, we're going to begin a series. I don't know how far we're going to go on this. It'll probably be at least four segments I know of. So for the next 2 weeks, get ready, because we're going to be talking about the season of repentance, or in Hebrew is known as the season of Teshuvah. So you may say, what is Teshuvah and why is this significant? That's what we're going to talk about in our introduction tonight. And then, like I said, we'll get into the real meat of this thing when we deal with some particular topics and particular subjects that I'm going to ask everyone who would want to and would who be willing to agree with me. As I agree with you, I believe we could see some real breakthroughs in different areas of our lives. So let's get started on this thing. The Lord moves, listen to this, the Lord moves and operates in seasons, cycles, and patterns. If you're the one who likes to take notes, write that down. The Lord moves and operates in seasons, cycles, and patterns. All through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you can see the hand of the Lord moving in operation through seasons, cycles, and patterns. In fact, you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. It said, and then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons. And that word in Hebrew, seasons, is modim, and it means appointed times. So again, here he's talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, different things that we see, the cosmos that we see in heaven, in the heavens. These are not there just for illumination. They're not there to serve for a purpose that astronomers would see, or they're definitely not there to worship and to bring our horoscopes and to read our fortunes as the astrologers do. But they are appointed, they were created, and they were set in place by God himself, not just for illumination, but for signs and for appointed times. Okay? Now, listen to this, Psalms 104:19. He appointed the moon for seasons, same Hebrew word, modim, or appointed times. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. To everything, there is a season. Oh, come on, somebody. I said everything, there's a season. Did you know that? I don't know what kind of, you may be in a trial. You may be in a storm. You may be in a predicament right now. You may be in a valley right now. But did you know that that will only last for a season? Now, I can't put an expiration date and a time frame on that season, but a season is only a season. Come on, how many believes that some seasons last longer than other seasons? I know here in Indiana, our winter goes usually from November, December, January, February, and even sometimes in March and April. But then you go farther south and you hardly have any winter. So your season of winter is very mild. Come on, have you ever looked at some people's seasons and are like, how is your season and your trial so short and mine is so long? The answer to that is probably, many times, is because of the sphere of influence that you have on your ministry. Come on, where little is known, little is required. Where much is known, much is required. Jesus himself went through a season of prayer and fasting and testing for 40 days and 40 nights. All right, but he says, there's to everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Solomon said there's a time to plant, there's a time to reap, there's a time to sow, there's a time to live, there's a time to die, there's a time for peace, there's a time for war. There's a time and a purpose and a plan for every season under heaven. John chapter 5, verse 4. Did you know that in that text of John 5, that an angel went down at a certain season? Somebody say a certain season. It appears when you begin to study this that an angel of healing that ministered healing to the people would go down at a certain season and a pool called Bethesda. And the people understood this. They knew this. They tapped into and they recognized that God moved in certain seasons. And that this angel came down at a certain season and he would begin to stir the waters and all that would come and get into the water would be healed. You can read about this in John chapter 5. It says that an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred up the water, that whosoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Okay? Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. I'm building a foundation because we're going to step into this teaching on Teshuvah. So I've got to give you an understanding of why we're dealing with seasons, cycles, and patterns because the Lord operates in these. All right? Listen to this. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Guys, you know how many times I've held on to that scripture? When I'm doing everything right, but everything wrong is manifesting. When I'm sowing, when I'm giving, when I'm tithing, when I'm giving offerings, I'm doing everything right, but everything wrong is going wrong in my finances. I hold on to Galatians 6, 9, knowing that if I continue to do what is right, I continue to do what is good, I continue to be obedient to the Lord, then it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, but if I continue doing good and not grow weary and do season, the appointed time when the fullness of time has come. Come on, God is going to open the windows of heaven. He is going to be faithful and true. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, but God is going to be faithful and he's going to bring it to pass. If I just hold on, not grow weary, continue doing good and doing what I'm called to do and being obedient, then he will come through on his end. Come on, and bring that which I've been believing for. Now, having said that, let us move on to this next point. The children of Israel understood, and when I say the children of Israel, I mean the Israelites. I'm talking about the Jewish people. I'm talking about the disciples. I'm talking about the apostles. I'm talking about Yeshua. Even Jesus understood that there was seven major feasts in Israel. Somebody say seven major feasts. Not only did they understand these feasts, but they practiced them and they partook of them. You can read it all through the New Testament. Jesus went into the synagogue and it was this time. It was during this feast. And then Peter and John went and it was during this feast. And then Paul went and he desired to go into a certain city, into a certain location before the feast of this or before the feast of that. So you can read about this. It's all there. The seven and these seven major feasts are, they're broke down in what we call the spring feast and the fall feast. There's three spring feasts and there's what's called four fall feasts. Okay? You've got Passover, then you've got the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then you've got, I'm sorry, I had that backwards. It's four of the spring feasts and three of the fall feasts. You've got Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, and then you move into the fall feast, which is the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, however you want to pronounce that, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. All right, so these are the seven major feasts. And then Israel, not only did they commemorate or celebrate these seven major feasts, but they also understood and practiced the minor feasts, like the Feast of Lights. And then one of these time frames that they understood, they recognized, and they commemorated was what is called Teshuvah. Somebody say Teshuvah. All right, what does this mean? The word Teshuvah actually means to return. Teshuvah means to return. Return to what? It's a time to return to the presence of God. It is also understood the returning to God is accompanied by repentance. So it does no harm to the understanding of this or the connotation of this. When we say repent, you can say teshuvah, to repent of your ways, or to teshuvah, to turn from your ways and turn to God Almighty. Now, Teshuvah occurs during the 40 days beginning the first day of the sixth month of the Jewish religious calendar, or the Hebraic calendar. By the way, God's calendar is not our calendar. The Bible says 1,000 years is as unto a day, and a day is unto 1,000 years. Quit trying to put God in your time frame and on your calendar and in your and your comprehension of time as we know it, because guess what? It's going to fail every time. God is on a whole other calendar. He's what I believe is the Hebraic calendar. He's on that, I believe, is the closest we can get to his calendar. Now, having said that, the Teshuvah occurs during the 40 days beginning the first day of the sixth month on the Jewish religious calendar, or the Hebraic calendar, and ending on the Day of Atonement. I'll explain this a little bit more in detail so we'll understand this. On the 10th day of the seventh month, we have an understanding that this 40-day period, now it's interesting, in this 40 days. Now, I don't want to get into it on this segment, but on our series, when we get into this, I'll talk about the number 40 and why that's significant. All right? But you have 30 days, and then you have 10 days, which is 40 days. But this 10 days, the last 10 days between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, is what we would call the 10 days of awe. This 10 days of awe represents, according to Hebraic tradition, it's an opportunity, or it's this window of space, a window of time to repent and avoid the judgment of God. Now, I know as soon as I say this, and as we get into this, I always get this kickback and I can feel it in my spirit. And someone will come along and say, well, brother, can't we repent anytime? Can't we turn back to God anytime? Why do we got to wait to this particular season? The short answer to that is yes, absolutely. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon in the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Okay, so yes, this can happen at any time, but there's certain time frames. Again, let me go back to this. There's seasons, there's cycles, and there's patterns. Couldn't God just send an angel at any time and heal somebody in the Bible? Yes, but it is also noted that not only could God send an angel to heal somebody, not only could he send a prophet to heal somebody, not only could he raise up one of the apostles to lay hands on the sick that they could recover, but again, in the book of Acts, in the book of John, we see where there is a season where an angel of God stepped down and stirred the waters where all that would step in would be healed. And you say, well, why would God do that? Listen, guys, I don't have all the answers. Because guess what? I'm not God. I'm just telling you, based on the scriptures, there is seasons, there's cycles, and there's patterns, and God operates through them. And you can see it all through the Old and New Testament. Okay? Now, these 40 days of Teshuvah are, and here's where it gets to you and I, is an invitation for us to repent and enter into unity with God through the blood of Christ. However, for unbelievers, Teshuvah is a solemn or sobering warning of judgment. Now, I'll get into that in more detail when I talk about Teshuvah and the judgment of nations. Okay? So that's going to be another segment we're going to talk about. The season of Teshuvah takes place every year on the Hebrew month of Elul and usually falls in the summer month of August. It's a period of time between Elul 1 and Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, that is traditionally observed, calling God's people into repentance and returning back to the Father. And this is on a corporate level. This period of time is many times also referred to as a 40-day journey of repentance and reflection on our personal lives for the past 12 months as we head towards the Day of Atonement, which is also known as Yom Hadin, or the Day of Judgment. This is why this is going to be really important when we talk about Teshuvah and the judgment of nations. Now, in the word Teshuvah, we get the word Shuv, S-H-U-V, Shuv, and it actually means turn. So this is why it literally, again, means to turn back in the direction in which we came. Come on. Some of us are heading in the wrong direction, and we need to make a U-turn and go back to where we need to be. Some of us have family members going in the wrong direction. We have neighbors going in the wrong direction. We have coworkers. We have a husband. We have a wife. We have a spouse. We have bloodline that may be going in the wrong direction. They're running through the roadblocks. They're running through the red tape. They're going through the caution. They're running through the warning signs. And now, during this season, God is calling those of us who have a right standing with Him, that are like Moses standing in a gap and making up the hedge of the Lord. Come on, interceding for them, travailing for them, and praying for them, that their hearts would shuv, it would turn, it would teshuvah, it would turn back to the living God. And we'll talk about that in a minute. From a Hebraic perspective, it was understood that the people needed to repent before they came upon the next feast, which was, again, the Feast of Trumpets. Now, what's interesting, I think this is very notable to bring out here. It's interesting that, according to Hebraic tradition, it was important for the people to consecrate themselves, or we would call sanctify themselves, and make themselves righteous or holy before Him through a season of repentance before the Feast of Trumpets came upon them. Why is that significant for all my prophetic folks? Now, I'm going to go deep here, so this is not for everybody, but for the people who studied these seven feasts, I believe the most opportune location for the harpezu, the rapture, the catching away, the gathering together, the great assembling of the saints together, the trumpet blast of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. I believe one of the greatest locations of this is during the Feast of Trumpets. And I'll talk about that. I'll pull that into one of these segments too as we do this series. And I'll show you a pattern out of the Old Testament that is absolutely parallel with 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, with the trumpet blast of God and the gathering together of the saints. So again, this season of Teshuvah was a season to reflect on our destiny, to set our house in order, and to make our hearts right before God and man through forgiveness and mercy. All right? This Feast of Trumpets, that again, this was all to be done before we reached the Feast of Trumpets or even the Day of Atonement during this 40-day window. The Feast of Trumpets marked the beginning of 10 days of consecration and repentance before God, also known as the 10 days of awe. So again, when you get into this, you have this last 10 days. The Feast of Trumpets began on the first day at the new moon on the seventh month, and it came, and it and its name comes from the command to blow trumpets. And this is in Leviticus 23, 24, Numbers 29, 1 through 6. It's also called Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. By the way, on the Hebraic calendar, the Jewish New Year comes at this time, and not like the Gregorian calendar, which we understand that we celebrate on January 1st. Come on, when the ball drops and we all celebrate, we begin the new year. That's not on the Hebraic calendar. Their new year begins in September, not in January, like we understand it. So this is, again, this is why there's two different types of calendars that we go by here. All right, so this head of the year marks the beginning of the Jewish civil calendar. During this celebration, no kind of work was to be performed, but burnt offerings and a sin offering were to be brought before the Lord. Okay? Hold on for just a second, guys. All right, and then according to Hebraic tradition, it is believed that during this period of 10 days, this is the 10 days of awe, the gates of heaven were opened, and the prayers of Israel and God's people went up before him during this time as a corporate body. They believe that in this window, when the fervent intercession was made, that it could reverse negative actions and judgments made during Rosh Hashanah. All right. Now, where does this come from? Where does this tradition come from? It comes from Genesis chapter 28, 12 through 17. And it's the story of when Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up upon earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac, the land of which you lie, and which I give to you and your descendants. And he goes on and says, I will give your, and upon your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the Bethel of God, or the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. It is believed at the end of the 10 days that the gates will be shut. And what transpires from our hearts during the season has been sealed for the next 12 months regarding our destiny. Now, I know people are going to listen to this. I've already got the negative remarks. I've already read it on our Facebook page, and I've gotten emails, and I've gotten messages, and people say, oh my gosh, brother, I cannot believe you're pulling people into Judaism. I can't believe you're pulling people into mysticism. I can't believe you're pulling people into Kabbalism. Guys, no. Listen, again, go back and read the New Testament, and you'll discover that not only did Jesus, our Lord, understand these feasts, not only did he understand these seasons, but he practiced them, he attended them, and the disciples that came after him continued to do it. The apostles did it all the way up to the fourth century, and I can show you in the new heavens and the new earth when this comes to pass that they will practice and they will honor and commemorate the new moons, the Sabbath, and the feast. Because these are the feast of the Lord and not the feast of man. Let me say that again. They are called the feast of the Lord and not the feast of man. And it says that these are to perpetual generations. Well, brother, I thought these were a shadow of things to come. Yes, because again, I don't have time to develop all this, but again, Jesus Christ fulfilled certain aspects of the law, but we're not talking about the law here. We're talking about the feast of the Lord. Two different topics here. People always want to try to pull you back in the law. We're not talking about the law of Moses here. We're talking about the feast of the Lord here. So let me just, I want to say this up front. If you don't agree with this, and you've got something negative to say about it, then by all means, just turn the channel. Don't participate in it. Don't believe for anything. Because guess what? If you don't participate and you don't believe and you don't receive anything, then guess what? You can't get angry at anybody else and you can't get disappointed. Listen, if I don't partake of the sweepstakes or a drawing and somebody and I don't win something or I don't achieve something or I don't obtain something, then I cannot be disappointed because it was me that did not participate. So again, for all the naysayers, please just turn the channel. We'll preach to you next week or whenever it is, and we'll probably have something that you'll enjoy. But for everybody else that wants to learn and everybody else that wants to participate, I'm going to tell you something, guys. There's something to this. And when we tap into the feasts of the Lord, we tap into the cycles of the Lord, the patterns of the Lord, and we tap into the ways of the Lord. He leaves these footprints. He leaves these blueprints, if you would. So that we can understand these things and that we, come on, I want to come into agreement with what God says. Not, the problem is we've been so westernized as Americans. And even outside of America, we become so westernized. This gospel has become so westernized that we've stripped it of anything. And I'm going to say it. We've stripped it of anything Hebraic. Anything Hebraic. But listen, if you remove the Hebrew roots of the Bible, then you have removed its entire foundation. Oh, you don't want me to get, I could plow in Romans 11 right now if you want me to. And tell you that it is not the branch that sustains you, but it's the root. And the root, whether you like it or not, is Jewish. And it's Hebraic. Come on, somebody. So let me get back onto this thing. Okay, now when we get into this series, I'm going to talk about it was during the season of Teshuvah, Elul 1, that Jonah left for 40 days to tell Nineveh to repent. It was on Elul 1 that Moses went up to Mount Sinai after the sin of the golden calf, trying to make atonement while Israel was repenting for it. I'm going to talk about Elul 1. Jesus went out into the wilderness for 40 days, coming out on the Day of Atonement. Isn't that interesting? And then it was August 21st of 2017, 2 years ago, during Teshuvah, that we experienced the great American eclipse. That was not a coincidence. That was not a chance or happenstance. That was absolutely, again, this is a sign in the heavens, Luke 21, Matthew 24, Mark 13. Signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And I told you all the way up here in Genesis chapter 1, he says that these are for signs and seasons or appointed times. All right, but we're not going to get into that tonight. So here's where I want you to take a notebook, your tablet, your phone, a piece of paper, a pen. You need to write this down. So Elul 1 starts the month of Teshuvah or repentance. It begins on sunset August 31st. So that's 2 days from now on our calendar. On sunset of August 31st, Teshuvah begins and it will go to October 9th, 30 days. Again, that's August 31st at sunset and it will go to October 9th, 30 days. And then from September, during that period, or that's 40 days, sorry. But during that, the last 10 days of that, from September 30th to October 9th, is the 10 days of awe. So you can write this down. Then on sunset of October 9th is Yom Kippur. That's Day of Atonement. That's from October 9th, sunset, to sunset of October 10th. Then we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. That is October 14th to the 21st. That is the Feast of Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles. This is all the Lord's feast here. These fall feasts are coming up. And in the month of Elul, again, this 40 days of Teshuvah is coming. Now, during this time frame, traditionally, they would read Psalms 27. I'm not going to read this tonight out of sake of time. We'll probably read this as we go through this during this 40 days. I'll probably come on here. We'll do a segment and we'll read through this. But you can write this down. Again, highlight this in your Bible. It's traditionally every day in these 40 days, they would read Psalms 27. I'm sorry. They would recite Psalms 27. I'm just going to give you a little bit of this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Why would they recite this? Why would they quote this scripture? Again, because you're heading into, again, prior to the day of judgment. You're heading into Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. All right? Then another scripture is Psalms 51. And this was a Psalm of David. And this entire chapter of Psalms 51 is an entire prayer of repentance. I'm going to read the first part of this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I have acknowledged my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Notice again, an act of teshuvah, or turning from sin and turning back to God. This is what David's prayer was, and this is the entire premise of teshuvah is. All right, now. I want to share with you four things that I want to believe with you as you believe with Brother Ricky. Four things I want us to believe for. You ready? You can write these down. Again, this will be on YouTube. This will be on podcasts. If you missed this, you can go back, watch the rebroadcast of this, and you can write this down. Here's four things I want all of us to believe for in the next 40 days. And I'll break these down and make these slow. Number one, I want you to believe, and I'm going to believe with you. The Bible says, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done. Believe the Lord over the next 40 days for prodigal sons and daughters to come back home. Come on, to repent, to teshuvah. They're heading in the wrong direction. For the next 40 days, we're going to begin to bombard heaven through prayers, through intercession, through fasting. If the Lord leads you to fast, by all means, do it. And begin to believe God for your sons, your daughters. Now, that doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be just your sons and daughters, but it could be a neighbor, it could be a co-worker, it could be a spouse, it could be a family member, it could be some folks at your church, a best friend. But begin to believe over the next 40 days for prodigal sons and daughters to come back to the fold. Come on, I'm talking about the backslid. I'm talking about those who have gone in the way of bitterness, the wounded, the offended, the hard-hardened. Come on, those that have fallen away from the Lord. We're going to begin to bombard heaven for the next 40 days with prayers and intercession. Come on, that the Lord would begin to take out of them a heart of stone and put in them a heart of flesh, and that they would come to their senses and turn back to the Lord. And I want to invite you to, if you've got to, take a picture of them and put it on your refrigerator, put it in your prayer closet, put it in your prayer chamber, put it in your living room, wherever you are that you pray. If you pull it up on your phone, that's fine. Put it in your tablet. Put it in your Bible. But I want you to lay that picture out, or pictures. It could be individual or individuals, and put their face up and begin to lay hands on that picture and begin to cry out to the Lord for them. Begin to weep over them. Begin to intercede for them. Begin to call out their name before the Lord in Jesus' name. I remember many years ago, true story. I remember many years ago, a church in Louisville, Kentucky, they went 21 days of prayer and fasting, and they had this huge, tack board. It was a tack board where they would tack up pictures and they would tack up notes, and people were tacking up pictures of their lost loved ones and family members that needed healing, family members that needed deliverance, and all kinds of prayer requests. And this whole board was just flooded with pictures of people. And I'll never forget, during that time of 21 days in prayer and fasting, there was service after service, and one young lady, the Spirit of God drew her to the altars where she gave her heart to the Lord, and she was on her knees before the Lord. She was up there before the altar and she was crying out to the Lord, and she asked the Lord to come into her heart, and she lifted up her head after she wiped her tears away, and she looked, and right there was this whole huge wall, this tack board that was filled with pictures. And she just so happened that when she looked up, and I'm talking about a 50 foot space all the way from one end to the altar all the way to the other end of the altar, there was hundreds and hundreds of pictures and hundreds of notes and sticky notes all over this thing, from men and women and young people and old people and all ethnicities and different prayer requests. She just happened to be at that one location on the altar that when she lifted up her eyes and wiped her tears away, she looked up and her eyes gazed exactly upon her own picture. She saw her own picture on the tack board. And what she didn't know, come on, was that she had family members that just so happened to go to that church that she didn't even know that went there. And she said, how did my picture get here? And it turns out that they put her picture up there. I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me right now for somebody. And they begin to intercede. They made a point of contact, a point of intercession, and they begin for 21 days of prayer and fasting, prayed and interceded, and God answered that prayer, and he had her look up and see why she came to the Lord. And it was because of the prayers of the people that she didn't even know was praying for her. Come on, somebody. Listen, don't let the devil tell you that somebody's gone too far. They went too far to come back. That it's too late for them. I'm telling you, you make your face like flint. You begin to, oh, hallelujah, sundadadadiko. You begin to bombard heaven. You begin to pray. You begin to intercede. You begin to fast. You begin to come into agreement with other believers. And I'm telling you, you watch the hand of Almighty God move on the behalf of the prodigal sons and daughters to come back to the fold. And then that brings me to my next part. Number two, begin to believe the Lord for the hearts of the unregenerated. These are people that never have come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't know the Lord. They're not saved. They're not born again. They're running from God. They're hard-hardened. They don't want to step foot in a church. They don't want to go to any revival meeting. They don't want to go to a conference. Come on, begin. Same scenario. Get their pictures. Write their name down. Begin to bombard heaven for them. Come on, for your family, for the people at your employment, your friends, your neighbors. Begin to ask the Lord for their hearts to be broken. The Lord says a broken and a contrite spirit, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord will not resist. It's like when there's a broken heart and a broken spirit of an unbeliever that's broken by the convicting power of the Spirit of God, it's like an antenna that goes up and brings off a transmission to heaven. And come on, all of heaven sees that transmission and comes down. In fact, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance and comes to the knowledge of the truth. So friends, I want you to agree with me. I don't know about you, but I've got family members. I know friends. I've got neighbors that need to know the Lord, and they need to be born again. And come on, if you're not praying for them and I'm not praying for them, who's praying for them? God has appointed you to pray for them. God has appointed you to stand and to be the Moses, to stand between heaven and hell for them and intercede and pray for them and travail for them. Why not do it during the season of Teshuvah? And then number three, somebody say number three. Number three, I want you to believe the Lord over the next 40 days for personal revival. personal revival and refreshing to come to you and your household. Some of you, you need this. You've allowed circumstances. You've allowed scenarios. You've allowed negative reports. You've allowed marital issues. You've allowed problems with your kids, your work, your employment situations, finances. All kinds of things have happened over the last 12 months or so, and it's caused the fire of the Lord to begin to be snuffed out. But friends, you can have it all back. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 3, repent or teshuvah, turn back. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When we get into that portion of this series, I'll plow a little bit deeper in that chapter of Acts chapter 3, and I'll talk about how you and I can tap into personal revival through this, in this time of Teshuvah. Okay? And then number four cannot manifest unless number three transpires. And that is, believe the Lord for the next 40 days for corporate revival to come to your church, your home group, your gathering. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord spoke to me a long time ago. He said, you tell the people they cannot expect corporate revival if they are not contending for personal revival. Listen, there cannot be a corporate revival unless there first be a personal revival. Because if there is not a fire burning on the inside, don't expect a fire to be burning on the outside. Come on, when people are attracted from the outside to come, it's only because of a fire that's been ignited on the inside, because it burns from the inside and spreads and goes outward. So I'm believing for the next 40 days that every one of you, come on, you represent your church, you represent your home gathering, you represent your cell group, you represent your household, and as you begin to, come on husband, as you catch on fire, your wife's going to catch on fire, and as she catches on fire, your kids are going to catch on fire, and as your kids catch on fire, they're going to go back to school, and the embers are going to begin to spread to the classrooms, and then when the students get on fire, the teachers will say, what's on you? I don't know what's happening here, but something is really tugging in my heart. Something is causing me to cry. Something's causing me to weep. I don't feel like I need to go back and watch this anymore. I don't feel like I need to be doing this anymore and talking like this. And all of a sudden, before you know it, what started out as a personal revival in your home begins to spread to the schoolhouse, and then it goes from the schoolhouse to their house, and then you have a community-wide revival, and then you have a city-wide revival, and then what turns into a revival begins to come on manifest and comes to a full-blown awakening. How many wants to see an awakening? How many wants to see a third great awakening come to America? How many believe that we need another awakening come to America in this dark hour in which we're living in? Well, friends, listen. Again, I'm going to go back to this. You say, well, I think all that's a bunch of hokey. Well, guess what? We don't want your unbelief. If you don't, listen, if you're not on board and you're not in agreement, listen, you say, well, that's kind of rude. Well, listen, I can show you in the Bible where Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and he went to some houses where there was some demon-possessed folks. There was people that was dead, and he had to throw some people out of the house because of their unbelief before he was able to ever see anything come to fruition. Before there was the dead raised, before there was miracles, before there was signs, wonders, and miracles, before there was breakthroughs. Come on, sometimes you just got to break from the pack and get alone from God. Some of y'all can't get any breakthrough. Y'all can't get the deliverance. You can't get what you're believing for because you let everybody else talk you out of it. But come on, now's the season. Now's the time, come on, to begin to press in and contend for these things that we're believing for. Come on, if you believe that, somebody give the Lord an amen or a hallelujah or something today on this broadcast or on YouTube or on Facebook. So I don't know about you, but it's for me and my household, for the next, starting on the sunset of the 31st, we're going to go strong for 40 days. And I want you, listen, I encourage you, get your journal out. And you say, well, I don't have a journal. Get one. Begin to write down your prayer requests. Begin to believe God for the impossible. Believe Him to get out of debt. Believe Him to break the stronghold of debt off your life. Believe Him to get healed. Believe Him to get delivered. Believe Him to get set free. Believe Him for souls to be saved. Believe Him for your ministry to prosper. Believe Him for the impossible. Begin to write it down. Begin to pray over it, decree over it, declare over it, and begin, come on, one by one, begin to mark down when God begins to answer those prayers. And listen, I didn't get into this, but even long after this, we get into what's called the seasons of our joy. Come on, the seasons of our joy. And this is when we get into tabernacles and all that. That's when many times what we sow in these 40 days, we begin to reap afterwards. That's where it goes, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So now's the time, guys, for the next 40 days. It's time, come on, to repent. It's time to get our hearts right with the Lord and our hearts right with men. And begin to sow into the heavens through prayer, through intercession, through believing God for the impossible, and watch. Come on, watch the hand of the Lord move on your behalf in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, I hope, come on, do you receive this today? I pray that somebody receives this today. I pray that we get some folks on board today. Listen, for the next 40 days, we're not going to leave you hanging. We're going to come on here. We're going to do some prayer segments. I'm going to agree with you guys live on Facebook, and we're going to pray. If you guys are watching or listening by podcast, you can go over to our Facebook page at End Time Headlines. Just type it in. Look for our logo, the same logo you're seeing here on the podcast on Spotify or on our main website or on the Apple podcast. Just look for that logo. Look for our official, our banner, and just like us on Facebook, and we will go live on Facebook, but we'll record it and put it on YouTube as well. And we may even put that on podcast. I don't know yet. I have to pray about that. But we're going to do these. We're going to do at least 4 to 5 segments on this series. We're going to talk about national, the need of teshuvah for the nation. We're going to talk about repentance on a personal level. We're going to talk about, the need of forgiveness on a personal level. We're going to talk about refreshing and revival. We're going to talk about a lot of things, guys. So you don't want to miss this whole series. In fact, we're going to try, Lord willing, I don't want to make any promises, but we're going to try to come back on here tomorrow and go ahead and get in one of these segments and just start this thing out right before we get into the weekend. So we love you guys. God bless you again. If you're watching by Facebook Live, there's a link right there under where it says support and follow us. You can click on that link. You can go, it'll bring you to our main website, and there you can, you're going to see where it says, follow us, subscribe to us, our newsletter. You'll get a one daily digest every single day that comes in your inbox, and you'll get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You can subscribe to push notifications there, where you'll get notified of breaking news when it comes. You also see you'll see our podcast up there at the top. You'll see where you can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram. You can follow us on YouTube. All that stuff is there for you guys on Facebook Live. You're going to see that link there. If you wish to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do that by clicking on that link. You can sow a one-time gift. You can partner with us. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you can do that as well. You guys on podcast listening to this, you guys on YouTube, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. All that information is going to come. If you'll just hang on at the end of this message, more information is going to come on how you can follow us, subscribe to us, and how you as well can support End Time Headlines. So we love you guys. God bless you. Have a good night. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again tomorrow.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.